Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, September 18th. We're back for a short week. We only have tomorrow left this week, Danny. And then we're going to take a break for a few days. And you guys will miss us, I know. But hey, you know, that's the way we roll, man.
No, you're taking a break. I'll be at home wishing I was taking a break.
Yeah, huh? I know. I'm just going to check our Facebook Live before I promote it. And we are on there and we're live. So people ask me sometimes, well, you say you're on video. Where are you? Well, you go to LA Talk Radio's page on Facebook and we'll be right there, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can see our pretty faces and everything. We do have a handsome guest in the studio, so you'll probably want to check that out, too. And we'll bring him on in just a second. Danny, we were talking about... We were talking about a lot of things before the show, actually. Mm-hmm. There was something I wanted to bring up, but I can't remember now, so never mind.
Wow, your memory is so shit.
Right? Isn't it shit, though? But I do remember something.
But that actually happens when I have, like, a thought and someone interrupts me. Uh-huh. It takes me so long. Like, I'll remember 4 hours from now. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
So I feel you. But your memory is pretty
bad. That's okay. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about and stuff, but... I guess the storm is still like pretty bad out there, you know.
Yeah.
My sister said
it's downpouring in Boston too.
Oh, in Boston, really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Like she said torrential downpours. She's also really? Very dramatic, so it could yeah. be a drizzle, but.
I wouldn't mind some strong rain, which I'm going to actually. And in Oregon, it's probably going to rain. I'm looking at the weather.
I wouldn't
every
want to fly in rain, though.
No, not in a storm, but regular rain. Who cares? You know.
Yeah, I guess
it's nothing really. But it's amazing what kind of weather they can fly in, huh?
Yeah.
I mean,
like they will actually like fly above tornadoes and shit. But that's when the turbulence comes in and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
No, but the turbulence is not really storms. I mean, it's just like empty air, you know, and the...
So uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's like pockets of air, you know, and it's... and it can be pretty bad. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know. So I hope I don't get
any of that. I think it makes you more uncomfortable when they put the seatbelt sign on. I'm like, we've gone 3 hours without it.
I always keep it on. What the hell, you know? You never know.
I always keep my seatbelt on, too, actually, to think about it, unless I'm going to the bathroom.
Right.
But, I mean, what is that seatbelt actually going
to
do for you?
Right. It's just going to keep you attached to the plane as you die.
Yeah, like, what is that going to do to save our lives? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, but during turbulence and stuff, it keeps you in your seat, you know? I mean, think about
it. Yeah, because I guess if you weren't wearing it, you could, like, hit your head.
Yeah, people have hit their heads before, you know? Mm-hmm. So I keep the seatbelt on as long as I sit.
Have you ever been on a flight where the oxygen mask came on?
Just no.
Me neither.
All right. We talked too much about flying, folks, so we'll change the direction a little bit.
Yeah,
huh?
Especially since you're getting on a flight Thursday.
I know.
You'll be good. That's a short flight.
I know.
Right? How long is that?
It's 2 hours, about 2.5 hours. So it's not
that
short.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Why did I think it would be like an hour? Maybe?
Right? I would too. But no, San Francisco is about an hour.
Yeah, like Vegas is like 45 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and then it's like a 6 hour drive.
Yeah. So this is pretty far. I mean, this is, you go through all of Northern California and then half of Oregon to get to Portland.
Right.
You know? So
and that's the capital?
Yeah. No, the capital is Salem, actually. I was reading up on it.
Oh.
Just like in California.
Well, no one knows that.
LA is the biggest, but Sacramento is the capital.
Yeah.
The capital doesn't have to be, obviously, the biggest city.
They still have two capitals because it's so big.
Where, here?
Yeah. Like, that's the capital of Northern California.
Right. That's how they wanted to break it off into three, but it never happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's a ridiculous... That's so stupid.
Yeah.
What would you even call it? Cali 1, Cali 2, Cali 3?
No, they had, like, different names, like California and then... I don't know what names they give it, but...
Horrible idea.
Who cares? It's not
that's when you know
happen.
People have way too much time on their hands.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
that's what you're discussing in board
or,
meetings.
Yeah, or too much money to be able to think they're going to influence politics like that, you know?
So stupid.
No, it's true, though. It's very true. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I'm actually enjoying being at home with my freedom again. I got reclaimed my home mm-hmm. after my son lived with me, and but it's very sad. You know, I don't know when I'll talk to him again. He's pissed. I'm even more pissed.
You guys will get over it, but it'll probably take some time. I mean,
years?
No, I wouldn't say years.
Years. It'll take
no
years.
No way.
I mean, they've been damaged. I'm telling you, growing up and shit. You can tell, you know. It's not
yeah,
like
but
I'm
what
really
about family parties
here.
Like Thanksgiving and Christmas? That's not years from now. It's months from now.
No, they don't even come to those things, even when we're on good terms.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love family parties.
I know.
And
well,
I like,
they
can't
go to their
stand
family.
Half my family, but I'm still
to their
tearing
mother's
that party
family,
up.
Not to my family.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, they've been poisoned systematically since they grew up, and it didn't matter what I did.
I haven't talked to my cousin in a minute.
Yeah.
Like, we got into, I posted like a GoFundMe page when I was super broke.
Right.
And I didn't really think about it, but she hates Trump. And I put on the caption of my GoFundMe page, make Danny great again. But I was like, it was kind of like a joke. Like, hey, just give me money because I'm super poor. And she thought I was like supporting Trump.
Trump.
I'm like, first of all, I don't support Trump at all. So she like sent me like this nasty long Facebook message. But she's also bipolar and takes no meds. So like my sister's son's christening, like she was talking about sex in the church.
Really?
Yeah, like she's like that type of like yeah. outlandish. So I thought it was just like one of her like outbursts, but right. I blocked her.
Yeah.
And she'll like write me on Instagram and stuff, and I'm like, nah, not yet.
Not gonna happen.
Not yet.
Wow. Yeah, so, okay, that's it. Let's bring in our guest right now. We're joined by Mr. Jim Jordan, who's a photographer and a lot more. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank
Get close
you.
To the mic
Thank
so we can hear
me.
You. Of course. We met, when was it, last week?
Yeah.
You came here to visit
Jessica
Bunavach, who's got a show here called Polished Woman. A very cool show, by the way. But you weren't on the show itself, right? She only brings women on.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but...
Well, because it's a... thing called Polish Woman.
She yeah, that's also, true.
Yeah, it's like not for men.
Right. It's directed at women yeah. too, so that's true.
Yeah, yeah, I met Jessica in New York. We were on a show together for Yolanda Hadid, Making a Supermodel.
Oh, so you were on that show
yeah.
too? What were you doing on the show?
I'm really good friends with Yolanda, and I'm a fashion photographer, so she brought me on the show as a guest to help make supermodels.
Wow.
So
this guy is serious. If you guys want to check out... some of his work, you can go to jimjordanphotography.com, and you've been on just about any magazine cover, it seems, your work has, and that's very cool. So how did you get into did you get into photography first and then into model photography, or how did you get into it in the first place?
I got into, when I was a kid, I started scouting girls and guys that I thought could be models.
Really?
So when I was like 8th grade, I'd skate around. I'd skateboard around.
So did anybody take you seriously?
At first, they laughed and I'd be fucking joking.
Like if an 8th grader ever came up to me, I'd be like,
yeah,
bye.
I had a little business card with my name on it. Uh-huh. I'd go up to girls or guys. I'd say, I think you could be a model. Have your mom and dad call me.
Wow. That's what everybody dreams about, and they probably think this is too good to be
yeah,
true.
They were kind of skeptical. And then when I would say, have your parents call me, they'd like look at me like more serious.
Really?
That's so funny.
I'd, basically have the kids come to my house with their parents. My next door neighbor had a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd bug him to take pictures of these people I was finding all over.
Really?
Yeah.
So it wasn't even you who had to take the pictures at the time.
So basically you're trying to be like a talent scout.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, I was
right.
scouting. I met a girl. I had this girlfriend in eighth, like 7th grade, and she got discovered by this man, John Casablanca, who owns Elite Model Agency.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's a big modeling agency.
Yeah, and he
yeah.
came up to her and gave her a contract, and she's whisked off to Paris and became a supermodel. I was like, that guy's got the coolest job I've ever heard of.
Right.
Yeah.
So I got a business card, and I ran out there, like, finding girls and guys that I could make superstars.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Hey, when you got a dream, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. you knew exactly what you wanted to yeah. do early on.
That's what people struggle with now, because no one knows what the fuck they want to do.
Right.
Like, not a single person.
I know.
Yeah, so I was driven. I was like, I'm going to find beauty in the most obscure places. And I found these girls that really didn't look like much.
Right.
But I have a gift to kind of see beauty that's kind of covered up, that's on the inside opposed to what's really visual.
Well, and if you think about shows like America's Next Top Model and stuff, a lot of those models, if you saw them on the street, like when they're not in the competition, are not...
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be like, wow, like, you're phenomenal looking. But all of a sudden they take pictures and it's like, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
Like, they transform into, like, this gorgeous creature. And
exactly.
I'm like,
and you go, I mean, when they have the pictures without the makeup and the clothes and everything, right?
Yeah.
It's like, how can this be the same person?
Right.
So, but it's sort of like when you look at someone, you look at the basics of the look, right? Because you know, okay, if we put some makeup on this, she's really going to look good, right? So you need to be able to see that, right?
I could see the shape of the face and the way the eyes are positioned, how a camera is going to see somebody.
Right.
Wow.
That's why I was a kid. I'd do these girls' hair and makeup. I didn't know how. I didn't want to be a hairdresser or makeup artist. I just had to make these people look the way I felt like I could see them.
Yeah. Right.
And my next door neighbor would take the pictures. I'd bring these girls to the model agencies. I was in eighth grade. And I had one black and white contact sheet, and they'd sign every girl that I'd bring in.
Really?
They're like, are you kidding me? Like, where are you finding these people? Who are you? Are you getting paid for this? Like, how old are you? And so I had a really good track record of finding talent in the beginning, and they were all saying the hair and makeup in these pictures are amazing. You should get an agent to represent you doing hair and makeup. I'm like, I don't even know a hairdresser. I go to a barber, and it's not really what I'm set out to be in my life.
Right.
They're like, well, the hair and makeup agencies represent the best people that work with all the biggest Vogue, every magazine, all the biggest movie stars call these agents to get their hair and makeup done, and you might as well try to do hair and makeup for photographers, and you can learn photography.
Right.
And travel the world. You should go to Milan and Paris with some of these models you're finding that are being sent over there.
Yeah. Wow. What a great life you envisioned for yourself. So you pursued this. And at what point did you decide you're going to pick up a camera and do it yourself?
So I became a hair and makeup guy. I ran away from home when I was 16. I moved to Milan, and I lived in Milan in Europe for 3 years.
Really?
I started working for
At 16? How could you get away with things?
And how did you have money?
I had like $1,500 to my name from all my Christmases and birthday presents that I've saved up my whole life. And I stole my brother's passport and his ID. He was 18.
Oh, my God.
And I got a one-way ticket to Milan. I lived in, I have a really gnarly story. I have a book coming out telling my story.
Very nice.
I ran away from home, and I lived in the park for 6 months. And I was out on the streets, like, going out every night, finding, just doing crazy stuff. And trying to make it happen, just on my grind.
So you've been around a few times.
Yeah.
Wow. Where did you grow up, here?
I grew up in Calabasas.
Okay, here in Southern California.
Yeah, I was born in Newport Beach, and I moved to Calabasas when I was like 4 or 5.
Really?
My dad owned a couple of restaurants, the Sagebrush Cantina in Calabasas.
Really? That's your dad?
Yeah.
Do you know what a cool place that is?
I've never been there, so
it's the coolest
I've never
place.
Even stepped foot in Calabasas. Yeah.
Right, it's the coolest place ever. It's a Mexican place. Mm. They got outdoors, a lot of outdoors.
Anything with tequila sounds good to me.
Live That's entertainment. Really mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good. Cool. A really nice place. So when did he start that place?
He owned it years ago, like when I was 5. My dad bought it. It was really small. It was like a little saloon.
And he made it what it is?
Yeah, and he grew it up and, you know, sold it many years ago and kind of moved on.
Right.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Are you close with your fam?
I have one brother, 2 sisters. I'm really close with them.
You need to be closer to the mic, Jim.
Yeah.
I want to make sure we hear you.
Yeah.
So, two brothers?
I have one brother, 2 older sisters.
Oh, okay. So you're close with them?
Yeah, they're awesome.
Okay, what about your parents?
My parents just passed about a year and a half ago. Yeah.
Both?
My dad passed away first, and my mom died of a broken heart 3 months later.
I was about to say, it sounds like she died of a broken heart. Yeah. How long were they married?
Like 56 years.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's hard when both of them go. I mean,
it's gnarly.
Yeah. I mean, I lost just one, and I was worried about my mom too, you know, but she managed to come out strong out of it.
It's gnarly. People would always say, brace yourself. Your dad just passed. Your mom, watch. I'm like, no way. My mom's perfectly healthy, drives, amazing. And boom, 3 months later, she's dead.
You kidding?
And then my dog died like a month later. My dog oh my at 15 God. Years.
So you lost everything. Oh my God.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
God, it makes me want to call my dad and stop tiny now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, all this wasting time on fighting and shit. You know?
For what?
And I don't like to fight, you know?
Yeah, me neither.
I don't fight with people, but people fight with me. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Same.
They want to be mad, you know? You're okay, funny. Be mad. What the hell? Mm-hmm. You know? But for those of you just joining us, we're here with Jim Jordan. He's a photographer, model. So were you like a manager and agent too, since you liked representing models? And
yes, I have a company
them?
Called White Cross Management, and I've been scouting models, like I said, since I've been 13, 14 years old, and I've, you know, discovered the biggest model in the world. Her name is Taylor Hill, and I've discovered...
Oh, yeah, Victoria's Secret. Yeah. She's sexy as hell.
Yeah, and really?
She had a little bit of a Coachella mishap, yeah. But...
What happened to her?
There was just, like, videos of her. She was, like, either really high or really drunk, but not coherent. And her boyfriend and stuff were, like, trying to block her from the cameras, but you know TMZ, they're going to get their shot.
Yeah. So I work with, I discovered a model, Jeremy Meeks, the hot felon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's you.
Yeah,
okay, yeah. Now he's married to a billionaire.
Yeah.
He figured it out from jail to billions.
Yeah.
Really?
So, you know, I scout all the time. I have about 50 models that we manage and take care of. And
that's a lot.
I discover talent.
Taylor Hill is drop dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
I've been following her on Instagram forever. And I didn't know she was a Victoria's Secret model, so obviously she started uploading the videos, and I always used to just think her pictures were really pretty. So I was like, who the hell is this?
Yeah, I discovered Taylor at 14 in a barn in Granby, Colorado. She was
like, she was working at the barn?
She was there on vacation with her mom, and they were riding.
She was 14?
Yeah, riding horses.
So when you go up to them, are her parents like, Kareem? You know, like, because sometimes when people approach you, you're like, no, dude.
She was in the barn, and I was looking around. I was there shooting a job for Macy's, so I was looking for scouting around inside the barn where my next shot would be. And she was in there, and I went up to her, and I said, what's your name? She's like, Taylor. Hey, Taylor, is your mom? I was like, is your mom around? And she goes, yeah, she's out there. Like, why? Like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Who's this guy walking up to me?
I would be totally skeeved.
So I went up to her mom, but I had my crew all with me. I had, like, 15 people, all my assistants and reflectors and all my lighting stuff, so they knew we were shooting there. So I went to the mom. I said, is that your daughter in there, Taylor? She's like, yeah. And I said, I'm a fashion celebrity photographer, and I'm a talent management company, and I discover talent and manage people. Your daughter's amazing. And I said, I'd love to give you my card and sit down and talk after my job. If you're going to be here, I'd love to sit with you guys. So they sat with me on a picnic bench table, and I shared my life with who I was and what I did and why I do what I do. And she was just listening to me. And Taylor was like, I never thought I could ever be a model. I'm like bullied in school, and I wear glasses, and I'm super like skinny and super skinny. And I never, ever dreamed ever. And I said, well, here's my card. She goes, well, let me go talk to my husband. And that was it. I didn't hear from them for 6 months. Wow. So I'm like, wow, that ain't going to happen. So I get a call 6 months later from Jennifer Hill, Taylor's mom, and said, my husband and me and Taylor want to come to L.A. and meet with you. And so they came to my place in Calabasas. They met me, and I did Taylor's first pictures and started, you know, talking about how I was going to develop her to make her a superstar.
Right. Wow. And now
I can see she's like very young, right? I mean, how old is she now?
She's like 21, right?
She's 21.
She's 21. Well, yeah. I've seen pictures when she was probably 16 or 14.
But she like walks like the runway, the Victoria's Secret runway shows and stuff,
she's
right?
She's amazing, and she does all the biggest shows. And she's a sweetheart. Her whole family's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I also manage her sister, McKinley Hill, and her brother, Chase, also.
They're all beautiful people.
Yeah, and they're all with
See how that goes.
And good genes, right?
Yeah, the parents are amazing too.
Mm-hmm. Wow, good for you. So obviously, what you want to tell us here is you can't be shy and succeed. You got to be able to walk up to people. You got to go out after something you want and you believe in and stuff. And that's what you've done. You know, I don't know if I would have had the balls to walk up to a 14-year-old and introduce myself and everything. I mean, creepy, right?
Mm-hmm.
sounds creepy, but you had the credentials, you had the people with you.
And everything in my lifespan, those voices in my head like, oh, don't do that, you're going to look dumb, or that's going to be weird. But if you can walk past those voices in your head that keep you from being who you want to be, then the miracle's right on the other side of the fear.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'd rather sit, try it, and make mistakes and be shut down than not try it and wished I did that.
Yeah.
So those were, that's my lesson. Like, that's my life, my journey.
Good for you. It's like asking, what's the worst that could happen, right?
Yeah.
They'll think I'm a creep, I'm a pedophile, they'll put me in jail.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's hard to now because there's so many people that present themselves as photographers who are, in fact, like creeps and just like want to shoot women in their underwear because they can't get women on a regular basis.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
So how I started taking pictures is I became a hairdresser, makeup artist for the magazines. I was traveling around with Elizabeth Taylor, Sophia Loren, Farrah Fawcett, Whitney Houston, Cindy Crawford.
Yeah,
I was traveling, working with the biggest magazines and photographers in the world. And after 15 years of doing that, I was super frustrated because I would see be on set with photographers that didn't really see talent the way I would see them. So I would walk to Farrah Fawcett all day in the studio and then walk her to her car at the end of the day, say goodbye, help her carry her bags to the car. And I'd say, hey, Farrah, can I take some pictures of you? She'd be like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I have my camera in my backpack. Will you give me 5 minutes? So I'd bring her up against a wall, turn her head upside down, flip her and then be like, shoot pictures. And then I get the pictures and stick them in a black box in my closet. And I never showed anyone. I'd be working with Cindy Crawford on the beach after work. I'd take pictures of her.
How did you get to connect with them? I mean,
because I got an agent to represent me doing hair and makeup.
Okay.
And when I moved to Milan, I started meeting all the magazines and photographers in Milan, the model agencies. Started sending me to meet magazines.
Right.
So I started working as a hairdresser, makeup artist for the magazines, for Harper's Bazaar and Vogue and Elle and in Milan.
Right.
So I built a portfolio when I was there for those 3 years.
Right, and you were there early on to build your career and everything.
Yeah, for 16 to 19.
That's a mature kid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know that I came here at 16 also alone, but I didn't run away. My parents helped me.
Mm-hmm.
So your experience is even more, gruesome in a way, you know? So...
But what does your family say about you running away? Like, what the fuck are you doing?
They didn't really know. My parents, you know, they weren't... My mom really wasn't really into me doing the hair thing at all.
Yeah.
And they were like, you got to do, you know, go into business with your dad, get in the oil business. And my brother was like the baseball star.
Right.
And I was like up bonsaiing trees and climbing trees with a chainsaw, like making them look beautiful. And anything I wanted to do or anything I was interested in, it was about making... taking ugly things and making them beautiful.
Right.
And everything in every area. I was cutting the dog's hair and transforming everything I saw.
You like aesthetics. You like things that look good.
I'm so into aesthetics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you went to Milan. Did you know you were going there specifically for that?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, right? Because who would go to Milan out of all places in the world? I mean, it is beautiful.
I mean, so many people would go to Milan.
No, it is beautiful.
That's on my bucket list of things
It
to
is
do.
Beautiful. But would it be the first one on your list when you ran away from home?
I mean, I would run away from home. I'm too pussy. But.
The hair and makeup agent in L.A., when I went to meet them, said, why don't you go to Milan? All the magazines are there, and all the models you're finding are being sent over there.
Okay, so you
so
knew.
So I had like 5 models that I discovered here that were all living in Milan modeling over there.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot of models that live in Milan.
So I'm like, I'll go to Milan. I'll find these kids that I've discovered. I'll go meet the model agencies over there.
Right.
I'll like tell them, hey, I want to get in this business. I want to do hair. I want to work for photographers. I want to work for magazines. Mm-hmm. And I was there, and I got the owner of the agencies, that fashion model, really took a liking to me and was like, call me every morning and we'll make meetings for you to go meet the magazines.
Wow, very cool.
And so I took black box of pictures and I went and showed him my pictures. Like, this is what I'm doing. I'm scouting girls. And these are the photos I've been taking, and here's my hair and makeup.
Wow.
So you can take pictures now and do hair and makeup, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he's totally into fashion and style, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there you go.
Let me see that.
So let's see that. What's that?
This is pictures of his work.
Oh, okay. And you guys can see those pictures. Go to jimjordanphotography.com. You'll see a lot of magazine covers and everything. I mean, you don't mess around. These are the big magazines, and these are cover pictures,
Thank you.
And they look very good. I mean... You're definitely now. So when you're a photographer, you're like a choreographer too, right? You tell them how to pose and everything.
Absolutely, I do everything.
So it's like you're a painter in a way.
See, I can't stand when you do a shoot and the photographer gives you no direction.
Right.
Especially if you're uncomfortable.
Their job,
like,
you know?
How do you want me to be?
That's
and
all
just
I
like,
do.
Just go with it. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna go with it because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Yeah,
yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm so into like the directing and the communicating and like I'm a choreographer. I'll get right down in the dirt and be
right.
Like, this is what you're doing, this is how you look, I want, and so what I give them, they give it back to me,
right?
And so I give them my heart, my truth, I lay down, I get in the position, I show them how their fingers are to move, how their angle, how their eyes, where their eyes go, how low their chin should be.
And how did you learn that? I mean, is that
probably just
more
years
like,
of watching and experience?
It's,
I mean,
it's yeah. It's kind of a gift that I have, like how I see light. I don't just see someone and go like, I'm gonna come in and take their picture,
right?
I can look around at the light and the wind, and I put all of the elements into it, and then I start to narrow it down that way,
right?
And then I start to connect with the people and their heart,
right?
And get them to trust me, and then let them, you know, I'm running in, I'm touching their hair, I'm fixing their shirt, and they're like, wow, this guy's like sees everything.
Yeah,
their fingers are all weird and monster fingers. I'm like, no, make your hands like this, watch your fingers be.
Really? So you notice everything.
I'm like in it. I'm like dancing.
There you
it's
go.
Like a dance to me. And it's like connecting with people on this kind of level when you take their picture and you feel that connection and that love with them and you're seeing them through that viewfinder.
Right.
Like to me, there's nothing better in life.
That's true. Yeah.
It's like
I mean, I can see that. But what I wanted to ask you is when they, you take, so you take their pictures and you decide on the look of it, right? So you tell her, this is what I want. Like you're painting a picture, right? She's the subject of the picture, but you're the painter
right.
of the picture.
Yeah.
And so many of them don't really look like they do in real life, do
right.
they? They create a persona in the picture.
Yeah, there's a lot. Like I just shot Lisa Rinna on Friday all day at her house.
Really?
And I was shooting.
She's still
her
pretty, huh?
Yeah, beautiful.
Do you know who Lisa Rinna is? I figured she would because she's older.
She's on The Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I don't find anyone attractive on that cast.
Yeah, she's a cast member of the show. Yeah. And
how is she?
I watched one episode of that the other day, and I was like,
I remember her with
the
big lips. You know, she had a botched lip job, I think. Right, for the most part.
I'm gonna Google her really quick.
Because she had a reality show with her husband Larry Harmon, right?
Hamill. Yes, I forget his name.
Yeah, I'll tell Mark Hamill. No, Mark Hamill is from Star Wars.
I forget his name.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Larry Hamill.
Wait, what else did she used to do though? She used to act.
Yeah, she's on Days of Our Lives.
Okay, yeah.
She was on a ton of different shows.
Yeah, a lot of different shows.
And she has a great personality.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah, she's really, really fun.
I've definitely seen her before. She looks familiar.
So the magazine hires me. They like, we want to put Lisa Rinna on our cover. We want you to shoot it. It's going to be on this date. And so I work with the stylist and we work with the magazine and come up with concepts of what it is.
Right.
It's like for their winter home and garden issue and it was around her house. So they give me an idea of a feeling of what I want to do. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you go out there because you're the artist.
Yeah. And then I do a storyboard or I do visual boards. Like I want the hair like this. I want the styling like this.
Oh, wow.
So you got a team now.
It's all planned out.
Yeah, I pretty much do a lot of it and then come and I meet her and I'm like, hey, how are you? What's up? Here's my idea. Here's the vision I have for today. This is the kind of character I want you to play. And she's like, wow, that's awesome. Let's do it.
There you go.
So you paint the picture for them. It's like giving an actor, saying to an actor, get up on stage, start acting, but there's no script.
Right.
So a lot of actors don't really like being in front of a still camera because they don't have a character to play.
Right.
So sometimes when it's just them, they're kind of like, wow, this is weird.
It's true. So that's
what
happens.
I teach them is like, hey, connect with me. We're going to walk you through this. This is a character I want you to portray for this shot. So I paint a picture and I tell a story and I get them to feel what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wow, okay, this makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And then I have fun doing it. And it's
very cool.
Right.
So how long ago did you work with Lisa? Is that recent?
Lisa Rinna?
Rinna.
Friday, last Friday.
Really?
Oh, cool. Yeah.
By the way, her husband is Harry Hamlin.
Yeah, Harry.
He's very handsome. He was on like several famous shows, big shows.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but I can bring it up probably. But she is... She's pretty. She used to have a clothing store across the street from me here on Ventura Boulevard.
Yeah. She had one in Calabasas also.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Where, the Commons there?
Yeah, up in the Commons.
Does she still have it?
No, I don't think anymore.
I bet I could be in a soap opera.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you probably could. Mm-hmm. But can you act, though?
I think I can.
Yeah. Because you got to be more than yourself.
Yeah,
when
I know.
You act.
Yeah, I know. I'm good at being myself, and I think I could be good being somebody else, too.
Plus, you can learn acting and then, you know, let your
talent
flow.
Plus, acting in soap operas is not that top notch.
But you got to learn a lot of lines really quick.
Oh, well, that's not a problem. Like I have a photogenic memory. Oh, wow. I can memorize like a whole book in a night.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Wow, you should.
Me and my sister both can, yeah. I would study for tests literally 5 hours before I took them.
Wow.
And I graduated top
everything.
Of my house.
Huh? You remember everything.
Mm-hmm. But then I would immediately forget.
Right.
Like so I would take the test and can't ask me what I just got. I could take a test on. So it's like memorizing shit, but it's not like...
That's all. You should be an actress.
Mm-hmm. It didn't sink in.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Wow.
Love it.
So we're here with Jim Jordan. Follow him at jimjordanphotography.com. Very impressive. Every picture is an art that you've made.
Thank you.
Let's go back a little bit to your story, though, because I'm fascinated... At 16, so now are you the oldest one in the family?
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened? Did you have problems with your parents at the time?
I didn't really have problems with my parents.
I feel like
my parents didn't really understand who I was and what I was here to be and do, and I really didn't either because I'd never known anybody.
And it's hard to discover that when you have people that don't understand you.
Yeah.
So it's not like you feel comfortable breaking out of whatever shell you're stuck in because that people around you aren't making it easy.
Yeah, and I had no role. I never knew anyone that wanted to do what I do, and I had no references, and I just didn't want to, you know, hang out at my place around my family. They weren't encouraging me to like just live who I was here to be. And so, you know, there are a lot of things, different things happened. You know, I got in trouble and I was running around with the wrong people. And I was just a lot of different stuff. I was kidnapped when I was a kid. And one of the reasons I ran away from home was to get away from this person, this like serial killer, crazy person.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Let's rewind.
Yeah.
I must know.
He's definitely got at least one book in here.
I'm obsessed with stories like this. Let's talk about this. Like somebody you knew? Or like somebody that was driving around the neighborhood like with an ice cream
truck? It was somebody that I knew. He was an older person that was friends with my older brother for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was 5 years older than me. And I knew I was a little kid and I always saw this guy around.
Right.
And as the kid got older, he started like doing really crazy things like fist fighting every single day at the school, having a fight at the church across the street, picking on people, bullying people.
Wow.
As he got older, he started like he ran over a bunch of people with his car. He started getting really fucking crazy. He was 17 and he got arrested. And they were like, in those days in the late 70s, they were like, you're going to juvenile hall or you're going to go into the United States Marine Corps.
Right.
Like, they gave him a choice. So he went into the Marine Corps. My brother and all our friends were really afraid of this guy because he was doing really crazy shit. And so he came out of the Marines. He got an honorable discharge a year and a half later after they taught him how to use machine guns and bombs and trained him how to be a military crazy man.
Mm-hmm.
And really enhanced his natural...
That's why I don't understand why they would give people with issues that option. Hey, do you want to go to a juvenile... detention, or do you want to go to the army and learn how to kill people?
Yeah, so
which
time,
one do you want to do?
That's what he did.
Wow.
And when he came out, everybody was afraid of this person, and he would come to my school and wait for me to come out of school because I was like the little kid, the little brother of his best friend.
Mm.
And so he'd come to my school and hang out, pick up on all the girls, and just hang out. He had nowhere to go.
So would he just throw you in the back of his van one day?
Yeah, so one day... He came to my school and he was looking at me through the window.
Oh my
God.
In my
classroom. And he opened the door open and he came in and talked to the teacher and he said, hey, is there a Jim Jordan here? Like he didn't know me. So I was like looking at the teacher like, what the fuck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So the teacher asked me to go out and talk to this person. And I walked out into the hallway and he was like, come on. Walked me out to the parking lot, put me in the front seat of his truck. And so it's like, where are we going?
First of all, a teacher needs to be fired because yeah. she's an idiot.
It was crazy. Like a year before that, he picked me up from school, walking home from school, me and my buddy, and thought he was taking us home. He went to the gas station and he robbed the gas station while we were in the car. He took the cash register off the slidey thing with the key,
right.
and slid it off and put it under the front seat in our car. Okay. And then took us to a park and bashed the register open with a big boulder. Took all the money out, threw the cash register down the storm drain.
Yeah.
And then just, it was, I have
that
so.
Would fuck, okay, that would
and the
fuck
question
you up,
is, where is he now?
He just died about 6 months ago, I heard.
Oh.
So there's so many stories. I have a crazy, crazy story.
Right.
You know, my book's coming out in a few months.
What's it called?
Good.
I'm not sure yet. I'm thinking of
I know, the title always comes last, doesn't yeah. it?
So, but it's written already?
We have about 350 pages. I'm working with a writer named Joan Riley Ford. She's a New York Times bestselling author. And
Very nice. She
has a new movie coming out with Julia Roberts and George Clooney and a book she wrote. And so she heard my story.
What an all-star cast, yeah. by the way.
And mm-hmm. she was like, this is crazy. I'm going to write your story, you know?
Which will then probably become a movie.
Hopefully.
Magic touch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to talk into the mic. You're killing me there, man.
Okay,
because
okay.
people are going to complain. Why is he sitting so far from the mic?
Okay.
You're forgetting. I know, because you get into the stories.
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah, yeah.
That's why you have the headphones to remind okay. you. But at any rate, listen, I can see how that would fuck you up big time, hanging around people like that.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I had a choice. Like, I would do crazy stuff. This guy was like, I'm going to teach you life. And he took me on the road with him, and he would steal everything. He'd rob gas stations, rob restaurants. We'd go in and eat, and they'd say, here's your check. He'd be like, someone stole my wallet off the table.
Wow.
Like, he was just doing crazy shit all
wow.
the time.
And how old were you at the time?
Like 14, 15, yeah. 16, you know, right in
wow.
the... Right
wow.
Right
still
before,
innocent.
Right up until I left Milan, and that was one of the big reasons, like, why I left.
You wanted
you probably
to get away
went
from
down
that.
The wrong path
yeah,
and stayed
my
there for
life
sure.
was my life. I was at a turning point.
Yeah,
I
there you go. You took the right path.
We talked
path.
About this yesterday.
We did,
so
about
weird.
The fork on the road.
Yeah.
And I chose the high road. I chose my gift and what I really drove me. You know... This guy was amazing, and he was crazy and scary, and he put me in situations like I'll never forget. But being with him, like I knew this guy in a weird way, like cared for me, and he
like
was,
he probably would have taken a bullet for you if something went down.
Exactly,
yeah,
he
I
would
feel
have.
That.
He would have, and he wasn't into guys, and he wasn't into sex. He was like with me at all,
uh-huh.
and he was very much into girls. But he wanted to like show me and teach me how to be a man.
Really?
Yeah, but he was not doing it the correct
he'd
way.
Go
my
to,
friend.
We'd go do the craziest stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's what gave me the strength to run away by myself, and gave me the strength to be on the streets and get a one-way ticket and go live in a park. In right. Milan for 6 months.
See, everything
months.
Happens for a reason.
And I was just out on the streets, like, fearless. I'd go out every night, like, clubbing, 16 in Milan by myself, meeting people,
yeah.
looking for people to connect with, go home with,
right.
get out of the park.
Right.
right.
And I'm
wow.
like, I ain't scared of shit. I'm like...
exactly. And you, so you're also, like, a self-sustaining type of person. You don't need other people to feel complete
no,
and
no,
secure.
No, no.
And
I'm not that way.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing,
that's
man.
That's like me, too.
You
I
leave
don't need
the
other
nest,
people.
Yeah, you leave the nest early on in your life.
I don't. I never did.
You know, you become very independent.
Yeah.
But I think it's also because I have a twin sister.
You need to turn your mic to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, why is it
to,
doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
you see, I'm directing everybody on the
you.
Fucking
mic. He has
microphone.
A little bit of OCD with the
I
mics,
it's
too.
Not OCD because I tell you what happens. But when the listener listens...
It's
so
like
one
cutting
person,
out.
No, one person is louder than the other
yeah,
and
yeah.
they don't know
yeah.
what's going on.
It's true.
For us, it's like we hear ourselves both... Through the headphones
mm-hmm.
and outside,
mm-hmm.
so we can't really tell.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, the little lesson there. But listen, Jim, you got a fascinating story, and obviously you know that. You've written a book and everything. What's your... have you had any time for like personal life and stuff? I mean, do you have hobbies? What do you like
I
to do?
I do. I love to swim. I surf. I play tennis.
Really? He looks like a surfer, kind of, huh?
I
mean, if you live in... No, I was like thinking of Orange County, not Calabasas.
Is
Calabasas
yeah.
Orange County?
But he grew up in Orange County.
Yeah, Newport Beach.
Besides, it's a beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I skate, mm-hmm. I surf, I play tennis, I swim. I love taking pictures.
Yeah. So even on your downtime, you take pictures.
Dude,
and
people
stuff.
Like, you need a vacation. I'm like, what would I do on a vacation?
Take pictures of a vacation.
Yeah. I'd bring my camera. That's the best part of the vacation.
Yeah, right?
You know, taking pictures to me is the best gift I could ever have.
Yeah.
I love it.
And you started before digital cameras and everything. Yeah, so did you develop your own film?
I did. No, I didn't do it myself. I went to the labs.
Yeah.
But when everything went digital, it's like when I really learned photography, you know?
Yeah.
Really? Because then you can take as many pictures as you want, not have to worry about film and cost and developing everything.
So right.
It really helped me. It made me a better photographer.
Well, I mean, I'm obsessed with this picture of Zendaya, but I'm also obsessed with her, so.
She's
of
who? Amazing.
Yeah, she's so Zendaya. Zendaya.
Oh, is that who that is?
Spider-Man.
Oh, I didn't know who that was.
Yeah, she's so beautiful to me.
Yeah, we went. I took her and her family on a trip to Mexico, down to Puerto Vallarta, her and her mom and dad and grandma and cousins. And I shot her for the cover of Model East magazine.
Uh-huh.
10-page story in the cover. It was really awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
She's a great girl.
You know, I mean, all these covers you have here, I mean, Charlene Theron, you know, it's like all the biggest names, you know?
She's
Jessica Alba and...
Kris Jenner.
I mean, obviously, you know, if every time you do something like this, it increases your marketability, right? Your credibility, your and so and I guess also you were lucky or not lucky, but let's say smart enough to figure out that you need to have an agent and somebody that would get the contacts for you, right?
Yes.
It's hard to do on your own, right? Because you need to a foot in the door, kind of.
Yeah.
Because it's an industry, you know?
Right.
You can't just show up at the door and say, I want to be a model or I want to be a photographer for, you know, you have to do it yourself.
Yeah, you put in your dues.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a makeup artist, hairdresser, working for the magazines, I learned the business. I learned by working with the photographers. I learned from the behind the scenes of how the business worked. Yeah. I got an agent as a fashion photographer, and I learned from the agent. The agent had all those contacts to send me in those doors to shake hands with people and show them my work.
Right.
It's not just kind of the pictures you take. It's more a lot about how you communicate and how you connect with people. It's kind of who you know as well.
Yeah. I feel like it's definitely a little bit of who you know.
And there's a lot of photographers out there, but a lot, the ones that are kind of succeeding is because they're networked, they're shaking hands, they're out there like doing it, not just hiding and taking pictures and staying.
Yeah, and waiting for gigs to pop up.
It's about going out at night and being on the red carpet and like being seen. And
That's pretty much what it is with every career, I think. You know, you got to be out there. You got to have FaceTime with people. People have to see you.
But you also need to be invited.
Yeah.
Well,
it's true.
Yeah, like, there's plenty of events that I want to go to, but I'm not invited.
Yeah. And helping, you know, me helping models, I believe, like, when we help people and when we do things for people, things come back to us.
Yeah.
And so that's why I never do things for money. I never wanted to be a photographer or wanted to be a model scout to get rich or make a ton of money. I always did it because that's all I could only do.
Right.
It's not, I never thought about money and the end result would be money. You know, as a kid at 13, 12, I'd come home from school. There'd be 10, 15 people standing in my mom's driveway waiting for a haircut.
Really?
And I'd cut hair every day. I did 15, 20 haircuts every day after school and no one would give me one dime.
Really?
That's
and one
crazy.
Day I'd say to my friends, I go, no one even gives me a dime. And they say, I give them the best haircuts they ever had.
Yeah.
And one day, you know, my mom looked at me and she goes, don't worry about the money, do what you love and money will come. And I always remember that was really one of the most encouraging things my mom ever told me, even though she wasn't.
My sister says that to me all the time.
Right, yeah.
And I'm always like, oh, I'm so broke. Like, I can't do this. She goes, it's not about the money, Danielle. It'll come. And I'm like, so focused on the money part. Maybe I got to switch that up.
Yeah. And so that's how, you know, representing Jeremy Meeks, he's the biggest model phenomenon in the world right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of opportunities that come for Jeremy are come for me as well. Like
by
me helping Jeremy and getting him out of prison and working with him. We had a phone call every Monday for a year and a half.
Tell us who Jeremy Meeks is, because most people don't know.
No, everyone knows.
He's told me, and I saw the pictures, but tell people who don't know.
No, every single person knows who he is.
No,
but go
that's
ahead.
Not true.
Jeremy Meeks is the guy that got famous on the internet, his mugshot. He was arrested in Stockton, California. His mugshot went viral on Facebook and all over the world on every news channel.
Why? Because he's black and he's got blue eyes or something?
And then he's completely like thug tatted. Like, he's got tattoos on his face. Like,
yeah, hold on. There's a picture of him here. A couple of them, actually, right?
Yeah, so I met Jeremy. I saw the... I saw his mugshot go, you know, viral.
Yeah.
And I never thought anything. And I heard all these agents all over the world were fighting for this guy, the
really,
most beautiful guy in the world. And the police department posted all these guys they arrested to show the world that what a good job the police department's doing, that they got these thugs off the street.
Right. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the guy's picture goes viral.
I know it started on like Shade Room, and then after Shade Room posted it was just like boosh.
Really?
Like, everyone was, like, reposting him, like, arrest me now, like, so I can be in a jail cell with him. Like, crazy. It went five. That was years ago, right?
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So when did you connect with him? Recently, though?
No, about a year and a half ago.
Okay, so how long was he in jail?
He was in jail in he was in jail for 10 years, but this last time he was in for 2.
Oh, okay. So it's a total of 10 years.
Yeah. He was in jail. He got out for 8 years.
Wasn't he in a gang?
He was in a gang.
How do you get out of that, though? We'll have to ask him one day.
Yeah.
How do you get out of that?
Don't ask Jim.
I've seen so many horror films about that, like trying to leave a gang. Yeah.
And so Jeremy, you know, was in jail, and 6 months went by. I heard all these agents were fighting over Jeremy, and a guy called me. He goes, you know that prisoner dude, Jeremy Meeks? He goes, you should be managing him out of everybody. And I'm like, I don't want to go there. Like, I don't want to fight with other agents and compete for talent.
Right.
He's like, I know somebody that has their contact info. Send him an email. Let him know who you were. So I sent an email to this blind woman. I don't know who she was. I sent an email. I'm Jim Jordan. I discovered the supermodel Taylor Hill. I have a management company. I like putting teams around people. I believe it takes a village to make a star. And the next day I get an email back from this lady. She says, fuck off and stop trying to poach my client.
Really?
So I call my buddy and I'm like, dude, see, this is why I didn't want to call and deal with her. He's like, is the lady's name there? And her number was on her email.
Yeah.
And I call her up. And he's like, call her up, tell her who you are. And I call her up and I said, hi, Gina, my name is Jim Jordan and I want to call and apologize. By no means was I wanting to poach your client, Jeremy Meeks.
Right.
I just was calling because I would love to help him in any way I can. And she's like, what's your name? And I said, Jim Jordan. I could hear her typing.
Yeah, looking you up.
And
right.
She goes, are you a photographer? And I go, yeah, I do that too. And she goes, wow, you're like a famous photographer. And I go, I take pictures. And she goes, so where do you live? And I go, where are you from? Where do you live? I go, I live in Calabasas. Mm-hmm. She's like, where? And I'm like, I live in the Yokes in Calabasas. She goes, oh my God, I was just there yesterday. She's like, wow, I'm looking at work. Maybe we should take a meeting. Can I meet with you? And I'm like, sure, when? She goes, tomorrow.
Yeah.
So she comes walking up the driveway. Yeah, Paul's up to my house, and she's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And she has, like, triple D.
Is she a lawyer?
She was an ex-porn star.
But when she says client, how is she representing him?
She said she was his manager.
His manager, yeah.
But obviously you swooped in and handled that real quick. You're like, buy triple D's.
So the woman comes in and she's like, I want to hear your story. And, you know, I tell her a lot about my life and my story and why I do what I do and why I want to help people.
Right.
And she was like in tears and gave me a big hug. And she's like, okay, it's on. I want to co-manage Jeremy with you.
Yeah.
So long story short, I say to her, I want to go fly up and meet Jeremy if I'm going to manage him. I fly up. Jeremy's wife picks me up to take me to the prison to meet Jeremy. And his wife says to me, after I told her my whole story, she goes, this woman who's saying she represents Jeremy has nothing to do with him and she's not his manager.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, what?
What the hell?
She goes, so I spend the whole day. They wouldn't let me go see Jeremy because they Googled me and said I was with the press. They wouldn't let me in. Basically shared my life with Jeremy's wife at the time, and she said, I really want to tell Jeremy that you should be his manager.
Yeah.
So she goes, Jeremy gets a 15-minute phone call one day a week, and I want to give you those phone calls to talk to Jeremy. So that Monday, my phone rang. I had to put money in the prison. I give my credit card so Jeremy had credit money to call me. And so that Monday at 10 a.m., that was my first call with Jeremy. And he was like, thank you so much for coming in and believing in me and wanting to help me.
Wow, you see?
And so we had a conversation.
You got to go after it, man. Yeah. You got to go after it. And you're not afraid. You're not shy.
Mm-mm.
You call people when you have to, and you talk to them.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes.
Yeah.
You know? I don't even have that. You know, I get kind of shy approaching people cold calling and shit. And, you know, so I admire you for that.
Thank you.
Jim, we're totally out of time. Jim Jordan, celebrity photographer, top photographer, as you can tell from his story. We're looking forward to your book. Come back when you are ready to publish it.
Thank you. I'll do that. I appreciate you.
Of course. And you're going to start your own show here. Do you want to briefly tell us about it quickly? Do you have it in your head at all?
Yeah, I'm going to have a show here at LA Talk Radio about empowering people and teaching them to walk through fear in their life because their miracles and their blessings are right on the other side of that.
There you go. You see? So he's not just for his own, you know, after money or fame or any of that. You're about helping people now.
I'm about encouraging people and letting people, you know, wake up to their gifts and their creativity. Yeah. And that's what I think we all
Very hear. Nice. Very nice, man.
And that's our journey is to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys can find his pictures and photographs and everything at jimjordanphotography.com.
Plug your Instagram,
and,
too.
Yeah, your social media.
Yeah, my Instagram is at jimjordanphotography.
Okay.
And my management company is at White Cross Management.
Sounds good. Well, much continued success to you, my
Thank
friend.
Thank you very much.
And we're going to see a lot of you soon.
Thank you,
guys. I'm looking forward to seeing your show, reading your book and everything.
Awesome.
And I'm glad to have met you. You're
Me
an
too.
Awesome person.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Yeah, all
that
right, Danny.
Show.
Yeah, there you go. You see? Maybe you can get a picture out of him or something.
Oh, yeah.
At least we'll see. But you have to come here prepared first. And don't fucking look at me.
No.
You know? But no, even like this, you could probably take awesome pictures of him.
No, I would never.
Yeah.
Not like this, no.
All right, everybody.
Contour and highlight.
Thank you all for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.